Morning, everyone. This is Pastor David, Berean Baptist Church. It is Tuesday morning, October 1st. Coming to you with the news and focus commentary this morning. And this is from ChristianPost.com. Title of the article is 50 Handpicked Christians Trained to Convince Churches to Reinterpret Scripture's Gay Boundaries. Okay, so we've got 50 handpicked Christians, and they're going through a conference, a training, in order to be able to convince churches to reinterpret Scripture's take on homosexuality. This article is by Jeff Shapiro, posted on September the 26th. So 50 handpicked Christians were part of a seminal conference last week planned by Matthew Vines, a 23-year-old gay Christian who believes Scripture allows for monogamous homosexual activity in an effort to spread the idea in the American church over the next decade. All right, we did a podcast on this guy a while back. He had an hour-long YouTube video explaining why Scripture does not condemn homosexuality in a monogamous sense. That's his argument. He would agree that sex outside of marriage is a sin, but he thinks if you accept a gay marriage idea, I don't even know if he would call it that. Maybe he will. I'm not sure. But a union between two men or two women could be monogamous and could be within the could be condoned by the bounds of Scripture. That's his argument. The second paragraph says, Vine says he has had success in convincing lay members of churches over the last year that monogamous homosexual activity is allowed by Scripture, but is encountering resistance from scriptural scholars, and he is likely to encounter much more, says theologians. So, who are the ones that seem to give him resistance? You mean the ones that study Scripture? You mean pastors and theologians and professors and people that that spend hours and hours in the Word each week? Those are the people that say, no, it doesn't say that in Scripture. And yet he's been able to convince your average churchgoer. Is that a surprise? It's not a surprise, unfortunately. More than 100 people applied to participate in the four-day conference, though only 50 were accepted, and the chosen were required to rigorously study throughout the summer before the conference even began. Vine sent them 1,100 pages of dense academic reading material, for example, to make sure they understood both sides of the issue before the event began last Wednesday. The goal of the conference was to be training Christians who are in churches that don't currently support LGBT people and to give them the biblical tools and knowledge that they need to go back to their churches and have constructive, persuasive conversations with other believers on these issues, Vines told CP. So, what we got here? We've got an infiltration mission. I'm going to give you tools to go in and change the minds of your church members. That's the whole idea. Now, one thing that's kind of interesting here is notice he uses the LGBT label. He uses that idea. So within that lesbian and gay idea, which he believes in a monogamous sense you can support, what about a bisexual one? What's the rule for a bisexual? What's the rule for somebody that sleeps with both men and women? Are there different rules there? And what about transgender? What about somebody that is going against their biological identity? What about a man that wants to live as a woman and a woman who wants to live as a man? He's fighting for them too. That's not even the same issue. That's an entirely different issue that we've got going on. And so for the way he's painting this picture of, hey, you know, we just want to talk about this civilly. We just want to talk about these issues that need to be rectified based on Scripture. There's a much deeper agenda going on here. There's a much deeper thing that's happening here. Some conference participants do attend LGBT-affirming churches, Vines told CP, but those who do so have other ties to conservative Christians. If there is a conservative Bible-believing Christian, he's not going to this conference. So the conservative doesn't mean conservative. Let's just put it that way. The event was held last week at Asbury United Methodist Church in Prairie Village, Kansas, and was hosted by the Reformation Project. How about that for a name? We'll come back to that in a second. An effort started by Vines to re-educate the church concerning gay activity. The Reformation Project is a Bible-based Christian nonprofit organization that seeks to reform church teaching on sexual orientation and gender identity, according to the group's website. So look at that. That is a conscious and intentional title for his organization. He calls it the Reformation Project because so many of us have respect for the Reformation. So many of us, many of our churches would not be here had it not been for the Reformation. And what does he do? He hijacks that term. He calls his people reformers, and then has the nerve to call it a Bible-based organization. But that's you see the agenda. You see he's trying to speak our language. He's trying to put it into context where we are going to be drawn to that. Event participants who are simply being called reformers are required to be willing to be a public, accessible, visible leader in their communities for the indefinite future going forward on these issues. Regardless of what each leader's strategy is for inspiring reform, the 23-year-old said it is important for them to be both respectful and sensitive when engaged in dialogue with others. Okay, another thing here, you know, I'm not here to look down on people that are younger than me. I'm not here to say that somebody that's of a young age doesn't have a voice and doesn't have a legitimate right to interpret Scripture and all that kind of stuff. But we've got a 23-year-old here. Okay, he's a young man. And all you have to do with me is kind of think back to where you were as a 23-year-old. And I'm not saying we're all the same, and I'm not saying we have the same level of study and all those kinds of things when we're 23. But a 23-year-old attempting to redefine Scripture, I think we may have a problem there as well. Our primary goal is not to make the church pro-LGBT. Our primary goal is to protect the integrity of the body of Christ as the witness to God's love on earth. Okay, so again, do you see how he's using the guilt trip? He's using the he's just not making the argument. You know, we're not trying to make you believe in it, but you know, if you're going to be a good Christian, you're probably going to want to do this. And do you see the approach that he's making here? We have the idea of we need to be inclusive. We're going to be reformers. We're going to be the true witness of Christ on earth. You see what he's trying to do here. Vines, a gay Christian, delivered a speech in March 2012 in which he argued that the Bible does not condemn homosexuality. The hour-long video of that speech has been viewed over 600,000 times on YouTube and has been the subject of debate among pastors and theologians. He told Christian Post that the writers of Scripture understood same-sex behavior as an impulse toward excess, that's a quote, much like gluttony or drunkenness, but the issue must be approached differently, he says, when discussing Christian gays who are living out an expression of covenantal love in a faithful, monogamous relationship. Number one, that's not how the writers of Scripture understood homosexuality. All you have to do is read Scripture. That's not how they understood it. That is what we would call hermeneutical gymnastics to get to that idea. And second of all, the idea of Christian gays living out covenant love in a monogamous relationship. I did some podcasts in the past on similar issues. That is not the norm in the homosexual community. The norm in the homosexual community is promiscuity. Now, I'm not saying these monogamous homosexual practicers don't exist, but it's not the norm. It's not what you're going to see in the majority of these relationships. So again, it's the minority of a totally different perspective within another minority. All right. So to make this argument that, you know, this is what it's all about, and I can make this argument, well, your community doesn't live that way. So it's hard to make that argument as something for the whole, because that's not what most practicing homosexuals want when they walk into a church. They don't want this kind of acceptance. They want an acceptance of all-out homosexuality, which brings in a whole other realm of sin and debauchery. Many Christians think they cannot believe in the full authority inspiration of the Bible at the same time support same-sex relationships, says Vines, though he hopes to convince them that that isn't the case. Vine says he's received 100 emails over the course of the last year and a half from conservative-minded Christians who have changed their minds on the issue. Most of them were lay people, he says, of course. You know, nothing against lay people, but you know that a lot of lay people, depending on the church that you're coming from, aren't serious about studying Scripture. Though he never expected conservative pastors to change their minds immediately. I don't think that they will be likely to change their minds until they see a significant change within their own church communities. Do you see the whole hermeneutic there as well? When enough people in the church change their mind, then the pastor should change his mind. Do you see what we've got here? We've got man driving Scripture. We've got man driving the interpretation. Scripture is not speaking for itself. Scripture is now being changed to fit the attitudes of the people. And that's the road that we're going on. And that's why this is a destructive thing. You know, we could throw any sin in here. believe me, people will say, hey, you're picking on the homosexual community. No, this just happens to be the issue of the day. We could throw any issue in here and rationalize it for it not to be a sin. Hey, you name it, it's been done. But to say that that Scripture needs to change, our interpretation of Scripture needs to change to fit our attitudes, is blasphemous. It's ridiculous if we are Bible-believing Christians. Evan Lienau, Assistant Professor of Ethics at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, was just one of a number of scholars who spoke out about Vine's speech after it hit the web. He says Christians must uphold a faithful interpretation of the Scriptures, which he says declares homosexuality to be a sin, obviously. The church has always viewed it that way, and there's been small minority groups here and there that have offered a different interpretation, and what Matthew's doing is no different than what has been done before. That doesn't mean we should ignore him. We should listen to what he has to say, but also respond, which is part of what I'm attempting to do. Lienau, who's been teaching a class on Christianity and human sexuality this semester, says conservative Christians have at times been ridiculed, as being backwards or stuck in the past for upholding a traditional view of homosexuality. Still, he says there are ways for conservatives to approach the issue. Notice, and I think this is a point as well that we need to understand, we're not here to shout this guy down. We're not here to win an argument. We're not here to beat him down with ideologies. We're here to stand on Scripture. We're here to proclaim truth. We're here to say, this is what God says. It doesn't matter what you feel. God says this. And it stands as the Word. That is what we're here to do. And the challenge there is, can we do that in love? Lienau says, we need to participate in discussion on two levels. We need to have the academics, the facts, the hermeneutics on the issue, but we also need to be winsome. We need to be engaging. We need to be kind in our approach to it. It's not simply about winning the factual debate. It's about winning both the mind and the heart. So what's the goal here? It's not to win the argument. It's for them to come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. That's the goal. The goal has nothing to do with winning an argument. Here's the deal. We're going to win the argument. Truth is on our side. Logic is on our side. Reason is on our side. Biology is on our side. We have the tools to win the argument. But what good does it do to win the argument? Let me put it back this way. The argument's already won. You know, the Scripture has spoken. The argument is done. It is clear and is finished, and the stamp of approval has been put on it. So what do we need to do here? It's not to walk away with our hands raised that we won the argument. It's to try to witness to these people and let them know the truth of the Bible and hope that God saves them and pray for these people and witness to these people. That's our job. And I'm not saying it's easy, because it's not easy to talk to somebody that is advocating a behavior that is sinful and that really strikes at the heart of our human decency. And yet that's what we're called to do. Vine's YouTube video just started the conversation, he says, but he has a book coming out next spring. Of course he does. That he believes will take the discussion to the next level. The book titled God and the Gay Christian, What the Bible Says and Doesn't Say About Homosexuality, will be released in March of 2014. Vine says he suspects that many conservative Christians will accept the interpretation of the Scriptures he subscribes to within the next decade. I wish I could say that statement is false. I wish I could say, you're crazy, Matthew. People are not going to believe your view of Scripture. But, unfortunately, conservative Christian doesn't really mean what it used to, and evangelical doesn't really mean what it used to. And so, will a follower of Christ subscribe to his interpretation? No, I don't think so. A true Bible believer, somebody who studies the Word, somebody who knows the Bible, somebody who prays, somebody who knows his Savior, no, I don't think they're going to subscribe to his issue. But there are far too many cultural Christians that would even call themselves conservative Christians, those religious right guys that really use it as a political crutch rather than a life view. Yeah, I think we will see more quote-unquote conservative Christians subscribing to his view. But what will you do? What will we do as Bible believers? What will we do as followers of Christ? Will we compromise because more and more people subscribe to this sinful lifestyle and sanction this sinful lifestyle? Or will we stand strong and face the criticism and the persecution and the difficulty that will come with it, because it's coming. And watch when you've got these people trying to infiltrate your church. Just read the book of Jude when it talks about apostates infiltrating the church. And once they get a foothold, once they get a tenure in your church, once they get a voice, you're in trouble. You're going down the road to Sodom and Gomorrah. protect your churches, stand strong on the Bible, and pray for these people to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you have any comments, place them directly to this podcast. Have a great day.